up in everything from political cartoons to novels. It may seem surprising now, but no one at the time of the book's publication could have predicted the overwhelming response, least of all my father. As my mother, Dorothy Carnegie, described it in 1981, which is the only time the text of this classic has been touched, quote, How to Win Friends was first published in 1936 in an edition of only 5,000 copies. Neither Dale Carnegie nor the publishers, Simon & Schuster, anticipated more than this modest sale. To their amazement, the book became an overnight sensation, and edition after edition rolled off the presses to keep up with the increasing public demand. How to Win Friends took its place in publishing history as one of the all-time international bestsellers. It touched a nerve and filled a need that was more than a faddish phenomenon of the post-Depression days, as evidenced by its continued and uninterrupted sales into the present day. It has been translated into almost every known written language. Each generation has discovered it anew and has found it relevant. My mother wrote that more than 40 years ago, and it's still true today. How to Win Friends and Influence People, which has sold more than 30 million copies, is not just a paragon of its genre. It more or less invented it. It was the first of its kind. In 1936, there were no racks of self-improvement books like there are today. Improving yourself usually meant refining your table manners or acquiring an appreciation for fine art and literature. You did not learn how to make friends from a book. You were either popular and successful or you weren't. Dale Carnegie sought to change that. He knew human relations could be taught. For years, he had given classes in adult education. The most popular one was the Carnegie Course, nominally a class in public speaking, but encompassing much more. He believed that being able to speak before an audience gave people the confidence they lacked to get their ideas across effectively and could open the door to transforming themselves into the person they aspired to be. My father found the work both challenging and satisfying. His business was taking off and keeping him busy, so it never occurred to him to write a book based on the class material until he was approached by Leon Shimkin. In 1934, Shimkin, the brilliant up-and-coming editor at Simon & Schuster, attended one of my father's lectures and was intrigued enough to sign up for a Carnegie course. He was so impressed by what he saw and heard during the first few sessions that he urged my father to write a book. At first, my father was reluctant to take time out from his classes for a project of that scope, but Shimkin persisted. He felt there was a market for the art of dealing with people and talked my father into putting together an outline based on the recordings of his lectures. As he worked on the draft, my father began to see promise in it and committed to the project. According to him, quote, I didn't really write How to Win Friends. I collected it. I merely put on paper the lectures I had been giving to people to help equip them for business and social life, the success hints that they had been telling me. He had no idea at the time that it would find a much wider audience than his classes. By the mid-1930s, the grip of the Great Depression was starting to ease. Although war was looming in Europe, in America, people were beginning to look ahead to rebuild both the economy and their own lives. After the privations of the previous decade, the mood was now one of cautious optimism, and people wanted to realize their potential as they looked ahead to a better future. The time was ripe for a book like How to Win Friends. When How to Win Friends hit the stands, it touched a nerve and the public responded, snatching up a quarter of a million copies in the first 3 months. Today, it is still going strong, which tells us that the craving for connection to others and the need to grow is a part of the human psyche. Which brings us to the logical question, why revise a classic that has proven itself to have timeless value and which continues to have universal appeal? Why tamper with success? Again, my mother said it best in 1981. As she put it, to answer